The Oval Office. The Oval Office was crowded. Hunching forward in the padded chair behind his gleaming broad desk, the president muttered, "From North Korea," his lean face bleak, his voice ominous. In a shallow semicircle in front of the desk sat the secretaries of Defense and State, the National Security Advisor, the Director of Homeland Security, and the Director of the Central Intelligence Agency. Off to one side of the room, the President's Chief of Staff sat on one of the striped sofas in front of the empty fireplace, his hands clasped tensely on his knees. Half a dozen various aides were back there, too. "Pyongyang has been on the wire with us for 3 hours now," said the Secretary of State. Her normally cool demeanor was gone. She looked just as worried, almost frightened, as the rest of the people in the Oval Office.
"They're pissing themselves, they're so scared," the National Security Advisor added with a grim smile.
A former admiral, he still looked as if he were in uniform, despite his light gray, hand-tailored three-piece suit. His silver hair was tousled, though. He'd been running his hands through it since this meeting had begun. Frowning slightly at him, the Secretary of State said, "The North Korean government is begging us to show some restraint."
"Restraint," the president snapped. "They've attacked us."
State raised a brow.
"Someone has attacked not only us, but the whole civilized world. It's not just our satellites that have been wiped out. But Pyongyang says it wasn't them."
"That missile came from North Korea," said the Secretary of Defense in his heavy, rasping voice. "We traced its launch and its orbital track."
"But it wasn't launched from one of their regular launching bases," State insisted. "Pyongyang assures us that the North Korean government did not authorize the launch or the detonation of that bomb in orbit."
"What difference does that make?" the president growled. "It came from their territory. It's knocked out just about every satellite in orbit."
"Except for our hardened birds," Defense pointed out. He was the oldest man in the room, a former longtime senator, bald and jowly. He and the Secretary of State had been senators together, and rivals for the nomination that the man behind the desk had won. State raised a manicured hand.
"Wait a minute. Since Kim Jong-il died last year, North Korea's been in turmoil, practically civil war."
"Their military took control of the government," the National Security Advisor said.
"Their military took control of the government," the National Security Advisor said.
"Yes," State agreed. "But there are factions within the military. One of the rebel factions must have fired that missile."
"What difference does that make?"
"Pyongyang tells us they're sending troops to the site where the missile was launched. They're asking us to allow them to solve the problem by themselves."
"Won't wash," said the security advisor. "Are you saying we should send in our own troops?" the president asked.
"Or hit that launch site with an airstrike," State added. The security advisor turned slightly toward the oversized television screen mounted on the wall between portraits of Theodore and Franklin Roosevelt. Without asking the president's permission, he half rose from his chair and reached for the remote control unit on the desk. The wall screen flickered, then showed a satellite image of rugged mountainous country. Snowpacks covered many of the peaks. From orbit, they looked like bony white fingers stretching across the bare brown mountains.
"NRO satellite imagery, 2 hours old," said the security advisor. "That's the area where the missile came from."
The view zoomed in dizzyingly, then steadied to show a leveled area of ground where a dozen brown military trucks were parked in a